And so I just wrote an article on my blog today and published it about scenario planning. And it's really a great tool that orgs can use in such a time as this to just look at different futures. It's a systematic way of looking at different futures, kind of best case scenario, worst case scenario, kind of moderate. How might your actions, what actions might you take in each of those scenarios? You can put dollar amounts on those. You can put key trigger points. So if XYZ happens in this scenario, we know we're going to take this action.
Welcome to the Social Impact Solutions podcast, where we help mission-driven leaders measure and market their social impact so they can raise more money and do more good. I'm Lauren.
And I'm John Mark. Together, we bring you expert insights, practical strategies, and real-world stories to help you create more meaningful and measurable change. This podcast is designed for purpose-driven leaders. So let's dive in, explore what's possible, and take your mission to the next level.
Stacey, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing? So good to be here.
Great. Wonderful. Yes, I'm so glad to have you here. I'm really excited to talk to you today, to, you know, ask you some questions. And I know I will learn a lot. I know our audience will learn a lot about strategic planning and program management, project management for nonprofit organizations. I know this is very much in your wheelhouse. This is very much what you're all about. So I would love for you to just define those terms. I like for everyone to know what we're talking about, broad terms like project management and strategic planning. What do you mean by that? And what do you really focus on with those two pieces for nonprofits specifically?
Yeah, good question, because people use terms differently, right? And so it's good to be aligned on what I mean by it. So yes, I work with nonprofits in the areas of strategy and project management. What I do with organizations in the strategy side of things is help them develop a strategic plan and also help them put that plan into action. On the project management side, it's more project management enablement of organizations. So helping set up PM processes within organizations. I facilitate PM fundamentals training to teams. And I also really enjoy coaching project managers, project leaders one-on-one. So those are my areas of service in those two. But you asked about definition. So when it comes to strategy, a strategic plan has these key elements. Vision at the top, mission, values or guiding principles, high-level goals. Each goal has measurable objectives. And then underneath those, you have the strategic initiatives, those projects, programs, and activities that you're going to do to help you achieve those goals. Those are the components of a 3 to 5 year strategic plan that I work with organizations to develop. And if you ask, if you look at 5 different strategic plans, they're probably going to look like 5 different documents and have different components. Those are the components I consider essential, and you'll see that referenced in key references for strategy. And that's how I define a strategic plan. Then on the project management side of things, I have found that, you know, project management is in all sectors, private sector, public sector, nonprofit, multiple industries. Many people who don't even have the title of project manager are managing projects, but the formal definition I like to use of project management is the application of knowledge, skills, tools, and techniques to project activities to meet certain requirements. And projects, to define that, because I like to define that as well, because it's interesting, many clients, you would think that they know, everyone knows what a project is, but not necessarily. Projects have a distinct beginning and an end. It's not operational work, ongoing work. It has a beginning and an end. So hopefully those are some good definitions and helpful definitions of terms as we have our discussion today.
Absolutely. Those are fantastic, super clear, very practical, very actionable, which is what we are all about. I think that anyone, whether it's for-profit, nonprofit, private sector, public sector, I think anyone has aspects or hears aspects of a strategic plan and they think, oh, well, you know, that's nice and it's a formality. But so many people think or have experienced that that document sits on someone's computer or it sits on someone's desk if it's printed out and collects dust and isn't used. And so that's what I appreciate about you, about your approach and what you're saying. And what we're going to talk about today is how do we practically implement this, particularly at a time right now when it can be critical for, again, any organization, any entity, but especially nonprofits. So here we are in Q2 of 2025, and we all know that Q1 of 2025 has been ups and downs and unknowns and uncertainty for nonprofits and other industries as well. But what are you seeing? What have you seen in the last few months as far as strategic planning and project management for nonprofits? How are you seeing these play into budget constraints, financial concerns, unknowns, or maybe even, you know, results and reality that nonprofits are experiencing?
Mm-hmm. Great question, because these are very interesting times that we're living in, that we're dealing with. And the one word that describes it so well is uncertainty, right? Nonprofits and other sectors really have been dealing with a lot of uncertainty as new decisions have come down from the administration, et cetera, and we don't know what else is to come. There have been funding restrictions, et cetera. And so as executive orders were coming out and these decisions have been made, I've been reaching out to clients to find out, number one, how are you doing, right? And how are you impacted by this, these decisions? And some are federally funded, and so they don't know what's to come. Some are indirectly federally funded. For example, they might get funds directly from the state, but they know that it's coming from a different source, right? So they're unsure as to what their financial future looks like. Others don't have federal funding, but some of the, I don't even know what you call it, decisions, things of interest, attacks on DEI, just to be really frank, impact most purpose-driven organizations. There's been a lot of conversation both about budget, right? And also a lot of conversation, even with some public sector colleagues and peers and clients, around how to stay values aligned during this time. So those are two like really key areas that nonprofit and just purpose-driven, because I consider, you know, great organizations like the CDC and, you know, local school districts, things like that as purpose-driven as well.
Absolutely. Definitely. How are you? Let's talk about some maybe success stories. And I know that we're dealing with a relatively short time frame here, especially when it comes to strategic planning. And so a strategic plan, typically, like you said earlier, being more of a 3 to 5 year focus, right now we're looking at the past 3 to 4 months and how that's affecting organizations. But what are your clients experiencing? And you don't have to name names, but just in the industry and even within your more, you know, niche market that you're dealing with, the clients that you're dealing with, what are some maybe success stories or successful practices that you're seeing organizations apply from a strategic planning perspective, as well as maybe some failures? And maybe it's too soon to talk about some of that, but maybe we could look back at what happened during COVID or what happened during other points in time when there have been budget constraints or economic downturns. What works well from a strategic planning perspective, and what does not when it comes to uncertainty and unknowns for nonprofits specifically?
Yeah. Well, I have two examples that come to mind as you were speaking, and one is like a current client now that I'm working with. We started the strategic plan development process, kicked off October, started our workshops in December, and have had several workshops over the last few months, and we're coming to the end, about ready for presentation to the board. But during our process, right, a lot has changed in terms of the administration and the things that have come down. And so how that impacted our process together as we were fleshing out goals. So, You know, I recommend clients have 3 to 7 high-level goals, and each will have a handful of measurable objectives. How are you going to define your progress against that goal? And so some of the objectives shifted, whereas prior to January 20th, they might have said, for this, we want to increase XYZ from this baseline to this over the next year, 2 years, 3 years. Whereas now they've said, you know what, given where we are, we just want to maintain. We want to maintain these baseline levels over the next year. And in a year, we'll revisit it and see how we want to adjust our targets for the years forward. And I think that's a really good approach because we are dealing with uncertainty. So that's one very relevant, very timely example of how an organization is adjusting their strategy with the current times.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think we would both agree that strategic planning, project management, other forms of strategy and plan implementation are critical for success and for growth and for staying on target. Mm-hmm. While at the same time, I think we all know that rigidity and, you know, absolutely not deviating from that plan that might have been put in place at the end of last year or the beginning of this year is also not super valuable either. And so having a plan in place, having target goals, measurable objectives, all of these things are so valuable, while at the same time reviewing them on a monthly or quarterly basis, making modifications along the way, is always important, no matter what the landscape looks like, but particularly a year like 2025.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And another example that you mentioned COVID and how organizations had to shift during that period too, which brought to mind an organization that I worked with in 2019 on a 3-year strategic plan. We wrapped up in December of 2019, and we all know what happened just 3 months later, right? March 2020. And it shifted things for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And so this organization made it through the year, shifting some original plans to more dealing with tangible direct service emergency. How do I help the community I serve when that's not their normal activities? And then as we got through 2022, at the beginning of 2021, they said, hey, Stacey, we want to look at our strategic plan and just see how we need to adjust. And so I have a tool that I gave them and said, hey, use this tool, look at it against your plan, and let's see how much you need to adjust. Did the vision and the mission of the organization change because of this? No? Okay, great. What about your high-level goals? Did any of those high-level goals change based on where we are now? And they said no. But then when we got down to the objective level, they said, yes, that's where we need to adjust. So again, those measures and targets, and then they also adjusted the priority of some initiatives. There were some new initiatives that they decided to adopt that might have been temporary, you know, in 2020, and said, we want to make this ongoing. And so that's how they adjusted. But it was in a very methodical manner, just not throwing, you know, the baby out with the bathwater, as the phrase goes.
Absolutely. And I think that the method to the madness, like you just said, is such an important piece, so that whether it's donors, whether it's board members, volunteers, the people that you serve, so your beneficiaries or constituents, internal employees, really any stakeholder within the organization has the right to and should be invested enough to ask questions. And I think sometimes that can be bothersome, but I think typically it's coming from a good place and just wanting to understand. And when a plan isn't in place, or when projects aren't being managed super effectively, it's really hard to turn around and say, well, why did we pivot? Or why? My understanding was that we were trying to raise money for this outcome, and I haven't seen that happen yet 3 years later. What's going on? And so I love your point about there. It was very methodical how this particular organization shifted and pivoted. They had the documentation to show what they had planned on and what it was changing to, but also the ability to communicate and unify and work together to change, rather than just keeping that internal and external stakeholders are confused, or maybe even internal stakeholders are confused if it's not a clear plan or not communicated clearly. So I appreciate you sharing that example. Would love to ask the question, not that this is all about, you know, fundraising or finances or budget, but that is clearly a concern for many nonprofits right now.
Yeah.
So we'd just love to know how you view a strategic plan as a way to anticipate and mitigate, you know, financial constraints that a lot of organizations are dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if we weren't in this time of financial constraints and uncertainty, really, organizations should, you know, have their 3 to 5 year plan, but then you should also break it down for this year. This is what we're going to do. Reminder, these are our goals, this our objectives and our initiatives. And your funding should align to those priorities, right? And so with the uncertainty, you might have to evaluate, okay, well, before January 20th, this was our plan for 2025, but now we're not so sure. And so I just wrote an article on my blog today and published it about scenario planning. And it's really a great tool that orgs can use in such a time as this to just look at different futures. It's a systematic way of looking at different futures, kind of best case scenario, worst case scenario, kind of moderate. How might your actions, what actions might you take in each of those scenarios? You can put dollar amounts on those. You can put key trigger points. So if XYZ happens in this scenario, we know we're going to take this action. So again, it's taking a methodical approach at looking at, okay, well, if we don't get funding from XYZ source by this date, perhaps this program has to be pushed off. Mm-hmm. But thinking through it in advance so that you can be proactive instead of reactive, which is always a better way of operating. Just more peaceful and less stressful for all.
Definitely. Yeah. No doubt about that at all. I think some of it might be personality related, but I think you and I would both agree that those that are more proactive, that at least have a plan that can be pivoted, are much more likely to succeed, whether they're small or large, whether they're new or old. Any organization that has some form of a plan in place that can be modified is going to you know, fare better in the long run, despite what the landscape looks like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you just alluded to scenario planning. And so I know that that would be one of your frameworks or methods that you might advocate for. But what would some other practical frameworks or methods be that you advocate for with strategic planning?
Well, with strategy execution, period, you mentioned at the very beginning of our conversation that many organizations don't even have a strategic plan, which is always amazing to me. But even some who do, it's more of a checkbox activity. They develop a plan. And then, as you said, it just sits on the shelf or on somebody's desk and they don't look at it for 3 to 5 years till it's time to ask for funding, you know, from somebody. But I always encourage my clients, and in any conversation, folks will hear me say, you know, don't let it get dusty on a shelf. That's half of the job, like developing that plan, putting into action is, you know, the next step. And so, you know, I provide my clients, this framework. There are lots of strategy execution tools out there, strategy management tools out there. If that's not in budget, I provide them with a tool using, you know, sheets, but you know, looking at all of your initiatives, prioritizing them, putting initiative leads names next to them, giving target start and end dates, right? And then putting each of those initiatives, which are projects, right, into action by developing a project plan and then having a routine of monitoring and communicating about that. That's the general framework for getting it from this beautiful glossy plan to getting it into action. And there really just has to be a discipline around keeping up with that, which is project management, which is why I love those two disciplines and they marry so well together.
Yes, and absolutely. And I think you just set the stage perfectly for diving into a little bit more about project management. I think some people might hear, oh, strategic planning and project management. That's an interesting combination. Just from reading your bio and talking to you a little bit, I know that your educational background is in chemical engineering. And so I know you have a great brain and just a great way of thinking from more of an engineering perspective. And how can you, you know, design something big picture, but also bring it down practically and implement and apply, which I think is why you're so great at what you do. Because some people can visualize and be more strategic, and they aren't as good at, or they just don't as much enjoy the implementation pieces. They want to be more visionary, high level, while others want to be more, you know, smaller, like weekly, monthly, quarterly focused and implementation. And some people like both. So let's talk a little bit more about project management and how that does couple very well, very nicely with strategic planning. But how can project management help an organization ultimately be more efficient? As part of that, implementing a strategic plan along the way.
Absolutely. Project management is really just a discipline to be more effective and efficient in getting work done. I'm a certified project manager, have been since 2007, which makes me sound really, really old. But I've worked in project management, program management, PMO space in different industries and also different sectors. And, you know, back in the day, it was all about getting projects done on time, on budget, in scope. And that was it. But now I love that PMI, Project Management Institute, which is the professional body for project managers, has really been emphasizing organizational outcomes and that being the focus of projects. So if your project is not delivering its intended outcome, was it a successful project? You might have gotten it done on time and on budget, but you didn't hit the end result. So can you call that successful? So that's how projects tie to strategy, right? I always encourage project managers to understand the organization's strategy. Where does your project fit into the grand scheme of things? And it really helps give purpose and intention for that work, right? So it's really just giving a discipline around strategy execution and helping them achieve their mission for nonprofits.
I think that's so important from a little bit of a different perspective. And what we do at Social Impact Solutions is help organizations measure and communicate their impact. And you just alluded to the importance of a nonprofit program hitting its outcomes and, you know, intended targets. So sure, the outputs, the number of people served, or, you know, the number of educational materials distributed or whatever it might be, but also the outcomes. What's the intended change that the program or the entire organization and mission itself are advocating for? And a lot of the organizations we work with, they don't have any outcome metrics. And so it's hard to know, are we hitting our targets? Are we hitting our intended outcomes or results? But I love your approach to, you know, have a strategic plan that gives you intended targets, and then your programs and your projects within those programs they're all aligned, they're all working very well together. So I appreciate you mentioning that, because, you know, not as much maybe the project management side, but more of that outcome focused approach, we see that missing a lot. And I think that's, you know, for a variety of reasons, but so often we and others are just focused on getting the job done, getting it done on time and doing a quality job. But it's just that misalignment between short-term and long-term, and, you know, sure, serving the people or the community right in front of you, but still missing sometimes those intended targets or the intended outcomes, and really not knowing the true change that might be created for a person or a family or an entire community.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, this is all been really good. I still have more questions for you along more of the project management side of things, but
sure.
What low-cost or no-cost tools can organizations use to really help with project management efficiency and ultimately mm-hmm. just becoming a more efficient organization? So if they don't have a good system in place, if budget is a concern, what are some tools that you like to advocate for specifically for project management?
Sure. Well, one thing I like to distinguish between is task management and project management. Yes, projects are made up of tasks, but there are many task management tools that I would not classify as project management tools, even though out in the world, they're referred to that way. And I have my own little checklist. I've written another blog article about it. But things that I look for in a tool, because there are lots of very good project management tools out there. And many people come to me and say, oh, Stacey, what's your favorite tool? Or is this a good one? And I said, well, these are the things I look for. Does it meet these requirements? Then, yep, it's a good tool. And these are some other variables that you might want to consider as an organization as you're looking at a tool. So, for example, what I would call a task management tool is something like Basecamp. And a lot of people use that and call it a project management tool. But when I think of project management tools, I'm looking for a Gantt chart or Kanban boards. I am looking for task dependencies to be able to be established within the tool. So you can build a really solid project schedule. I want you to be able to capture a baseline of a project. So that's the original schedule that you planned out, and then also be able to capture, okay, this was what we planned the schedule to be, but this is the actual schedule. And you have that piece of information to look at next time you do a similar project, right? So you can better plan in the future. Those are just some of the examples of like variables I look at in good project management tools. So therefore, some of my favorites are, you know, Smartsheet is an excellent tool. I recommend that one often. End of last year, I learned about a tool called Project Insight, which has been around for years, but I learned about it at the PMI conference and got in there, played in, and I'm like, oh, this is great. It does this, that, and the other. Love it. So partnered with them. Monday.com checks all the boxes for me. And a lot of people like Asana. And I haven't looked at it in maybe 6 months, but every 6 months I try to go in and check and see if it, you know, checks all the boxes on my list. And one thing that it couldn't do every time that I go back and check is be able to capture baseline schedule versus actual. And that's my one complaint against it. It's very easy to use. A lot of people use it. And if you don't feel the need to capture baseline versus actual, then that is a tool you can use. How you're effectively like tracking how things are going, I don't know how you do that without, you know, capturing, okay, this task was going to take me 2 weeks, but it's actually taking 3 and we're just changing the date. So that's my issue with that tool. But I know a lot of organizations use that. And so probably for each of the tools I've mentioned, there might be a free version with limited capabilities. But for my general minimum, you know, checklist, usually there's some kind of fee involved or subscription required.
Wonderful. I think those are all really great tools. I'm familiar with most of them. A couple that you mentioned, I have not explored. Internally, we used to use Monday.com. And then about 2 years ago, I guess, we switched to Asana. So when you were talking about project baseline, I agree. I haven't seen that feature. I do know that they have an estimated versus actual time, but that's more like time tracking focused or time spent on a project. It's not as much start date, end date or due date focused. But overall, we're very pleased with Asana and a lot of its project management capabilities, but that's a great point. I have not seen that particular feature there either. I mean, they're a very robust platform, so they could probably add it. You know, you should message them and say, hey, we need to incorporate this.
I asked at one point, but I should go back and ask on a regular basis. Are you adding this as a feature? Is this on your roadmap?
Great. Well, those are all really, really helpful. I don't think you would advocate for this with or for project management, but I continue to be amazed with what Google and Google Suite can do from just, you know, varying capabilities. So if an organization were really, really, truly strapped for budget, I think that they could combine, you know, Google Docs, Google Sheets, and maybe Forms and some other things and do some level of their own project management and tracking that way. It's probably not the most efficient thing to do, but just throwing that out there as if you're really, really budget constrained, I continue to be amazed with some of the features that Google continues to roll out on, you know, even a monthly, weekly basis. So.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely could use a spreadsheet to create a good project plan. It's having the fundamentals of knowing how to create that good project schedule and having the PM specific tools make it easier to build it. But, you know, you're right. If you are budget constrained, you could do that in Excel and flesh that out and track.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I know that we have talked about a lot of things. I think we could have spent several hours just on strategic plans for nonprofits and several more hours just on project management for nonprofits. But as we sort of start to wrap up our conversation today, I would love to know, what are some, you know, 1 to 3 key recommendations that you would give to nonprofit leaders, just practical ways that they can go apply what we've talked about today? If they don't have a strategic plan at all, how can they get started? If they do have a strategic plan, but it's been sitting there, it hasn't been used, as well as, you know, 1 or 2 key things for project management as well.
Awesome. Well, number one, you said if they don't have a strategic plan, I highly encourage them to develop a strategic plan. It really just helps align internally your organization, externally stakeholders, your board, potential donors, so that everyone knows what your focus is and what you plan to accomplish. And I think strongly feel that organizations of all sizes need a strategic plan. I have a consulting practice with one employee. I work with subcontractors, but I'm the only employee and I have a strategic plan and I also execute against it. And I think it's very important to help you stay aligned and just to operate with intention. So I highly encourage them to develop a strategic plan. And if you do not have experience doing this, you can work with a consultant. There are many strategic planning consultants out there who can help you with that. Obviously, I do that, but there are a number of others as well. And there are some consulting communities. Consultants for Good has a number of really great nonprofit consultants. There's a directory. You can find people there. Also, Nonprofit Hive. There's a trusted Hive partner program. I'm also a part of that, but also some other great consultants. So that's how you can easily find some nonprofit consultants to work with. Find one that works well with you and your organization and your budget. You also asked, I think, about strategy execution. If you need help putting that plan into action, I shared the framework that I use with clients to help them begin to put that plan into action. But if it sounds intimidating to do it on your own, they can honestly always reach out. It doesn't cost a thing to schedule a call and we can have a conversation and you can decide if you'd like help or not. But that initial framework we talked about a little bit, and that gives some guidance as to how you can put it into action. And then the last thing I think you asked about was project management tips. I would say level up the project management capability of your organization. It's not about, oh, we just need a tool. I've had a client come to me and say, hey, we're looking for someone to implement a specific tool, fill in the blank. And I said, hey, let's wait. Let's roll back. You know, what's the capability of the organization? Do you have processes in place for project management already? Is there capability? Does anyone have the skill set within your organization? Let's look at that. And then once you have those in place, a tool just helps you, you know, put those things in place. Having a tool alone doesn't do anything if you don't have PM processes and a fundamental understanding of some basic things. So there are tons of training programs online if it's a low budget thing to learn project management fundamentals so that your team has just some knowledge how to run good meetings, how to initiate projects. They don't just come up because it was one person's idea and it wasn't in a very intentional way. It was just kind of a panicked, okay, we're starting this project and so you're going to work on it without context, you know, or organization. So having some processes around project initiation, how you execute them and keep track and report on them, and how you wrap up projects, which is also important. So putting some discipline in place, training the organization on how to do that well, and then finding a tool that can support the processes that you decide on. So yeah, so those are some tips that I would offer.
Great. Those are fantastic practical insights for listeners to take away and apply and implement. You mentioned in a couple of different scenarios, if people are looking for more resources, or maybe if they are looking for outside help to develop or refine a strategic plan, you have blogs on your website, you can schedule a call. But yes. Can you talk a little bit more about where people can find you, your website or LinkedIn or wherever that might be, some of the resources that you could provide to nonprofits and where they can find you if they want to learn more?
Sure. So two good places to find me are on LinkedIn and my website. On LinkedIn, you'll find me, it might say Stacy Thrasher Brim. That's my maiden name. But Stacy Brim, I'm on LinkedIn regularly and I do post just tips and articles and reshare of great resources for purpose-driven, mission-driven leaders. Also on my website, stbconsultingllc.com. You can go there and learn not only about my practice and how I partner with nonprofit leaders, but also on my blog. There are resources where I've written multiple articles. They can reference those as helpful tools. I mentioned I just released one this morning on scenario planning, but there are other topics about getting your strategic plan, cascading it through the organization and how to begin executing on it. My tips for how to pick out a good project management tool, things to look for, as there are many tools out there. So they can go to the blog on my website. You can also sign up for my newsletter. You can do that through my website. And each month I send out a newsletter. I don't spam people, but once a month send out a newsletter with various tips around strategy, project management, and leadership. Those are the key areas. And it's really all about providing resources and, the insights that are helpful to those who are trying to do good in the world. That's my whole point of doing that. So if we're not connected on LinkedIn, I encourage people to connect with me there. Don't just follow, but connect. Happy to have a conversation or reach out directly on my contact page. You can fill out the form. I respond very quickly. Would love to chat.
Great. Wonderful. Well, Stacy, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for the insights that you provided on nonprofit strategic planning and project management. I would also encourage anyone that's listening to connect with you on LinkedIn or to go to your website, as I have been, you know, very impressed. I've found your content to be very valuable and practical. And so I just really appreciate you taking the time to have a conversation today and share your insights.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure having this conversation with you. And I'm so glad that we met last year. This has been great.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.